and change me today. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm glad I came today. Tell him I'm glad you came today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to start here today with a quote. Title of this message is Primitive Christianity. In some circles, I am called Dr. Primitive. And that is because I believe that Christianity, as it was originally presented, as it was originally practiced in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then in the book of Acts, I believe that it's available that way today. So therefore, there are people who call me Dr. Primitive, and that's okay. So we're calling this message today Primitive Christianity. I think you would agree with me, if you thought about it for a moment, that the streamlined postmodern Christianity that is all around us has had so many adjustments to it that unfortunately in many cases there's not much left from what Jesus originally gave us and what the apostles originally practiced, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and others in the book of Acts. And there is a world out there that is dying to see the real gospel, both in the love of God and in the power of God. So I think we should work on that for a few minutes here today. And I want to start out with a quote. I'll read it to you, and you tell me who you think said this. It's a historical person that you have all heard of. He who shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity shall change the face of the world. I'll say it again. He who shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity shall change the face of the world. What do you think? Maybe John Wesley? That kind of sounds like him. No, it wasn't John Wesley. Maybe Jonathan Edwards? No. You ready for who said that? You ready to be shocked? Benjamin Franklin said those words in the 1760s. The guy they told you in school was a deist. Can I confidently assure you today that no deist would say those words? Benjamin Franklin was an ardent believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a man who prayed regularly and had revelation from God. How do you think he came up with all those inventions that he invented? Friends, we've been sold a bill of goods about the founding of our nation, about the founders of our nation, and I'm here to tell you today that people all over the nation are waking up. I'm not here to preach politics today. I am here to say our nation has got to wake up. The encroaching hand of government is strangling us slowly by slowly by slowly, and it has got to stop. If America is going to be the force for freedom, that's one thing. That's a political thing. That's an economic thing. That's all of that. But if America is going to continue to be the force for the kingdom of God that it has been, I have traveled the world preaching this gospel, and everywhere in the world people know that it is America that has sent out missionaries. It is America that has sent out people to preach and found Bible colleges and to build hospitals and to do all these acts of mercy and all of this. And friend, it's crumbling before our very eyes here today. The man you saw on the screen with me here, Eugene Marissa, and Bishop Eugene, the guy we work with in Tanzania, flew over here to be here and do some preaching in the United States last year. He was stopped at our immigration control here in Minneapolis at the airport. And when the person perceived that he was a Christian preacher, even though his visa, everything was in order, his passport and his visa, they shortened his stay by 9 days just because they found out he was a Christian. And nobody could do anything about it. That's what's happening, friends. Little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, until as the frog and the kettle were cooked. Well, this is one frog that isn't going to cook right here. Hallelujah. I'm standing up to say Jesus is Lord. I'm standing up to say I am a born-again, spirit-filled Christian that believes in the authority of the Bible, that believes in what the Bible says, that believes in how the Spirit leads. Hallelujah. And I believe that primitive Christianity is going to bring the nation back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Of course, I'm out of my mind, you know, so it's up to you if you want to listen to me, okay? Hallelujah. Let me give you four principles of primitive Christianity, please. Number one, the power of the prophetic Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2, please. We'll read some verses from that chapter. Let's start with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look at your neighbor and tell him that was a miracle. Go ahead, tell your neighbor. To get 120 people into one accord in one place, that is in radical, awesome spiritual agreement with one another. Hallelujah. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You can read these following verses and find how they spilled out of that room into the streets of the city. They were speaking in these tongues that had begun to come out of them, and all these nations who are mentioned here heard the languages, their own languages being spoken by Galileans who should be speaking in Aramaic, but they were speaking in all these other languages. And some people thought they were drunk. Others mocking said, verse 13, they're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. Let me paraphrase what Peter is saying here. It's only 9 in the morning. The places aren't even open yet. They couldn't be drunk here now. Seriously. And then Peter begins to preach and say this. Verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. There's a very serious qualification that you have to meet to be able to have the Spirit of God poured out on you. You have to be made of flesh. It's only people that can have this. You have to have skin on you. Okay? Let's check ourselves here. Everybody take their finger, lay it on your other hand, and pinch a little bit, or check yourself and see if you're flesh. Okay? If you're flesh, wave your hand at me here today. Well, it's not everybody, so check your neighbor. Lay your fingers on your neighbor's hand and squeeze a little. Check your neighbor. See if they're flesh here today. If you have skin on you, the Spirit of God can come into you. Can you say amen to that today? That's the qualification you have to meet. There's some other ones here, too. It says in the middle of the verse, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's another very tightly defined group, isn't it? The only people that can prophesy are sons and daughters. You have to be a son or you have to be a daughter. Hello. Let's hear the sons say amen to that here today, all the sons. Let's hear the daughters say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Those are the only people that can prophesy now is sons and daughters. Are you getting this? Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. You have to be young or old. Hallelujah. I was telling Pastor before the service, we got Sherry a tablet for her birthday last month. Many times she comes to me frustrated, says, honey, I can't do this. I said, I can't either, but soon we're going to a place where there are young people. So we'll ask them. That's what we do. These phone things we carry, or these computers we carry around in our upper pockets here that are called phones, same with them. Ask a young person, you know, they'll help you. But for the Spirit of God to come on you, you have to be young or old. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18, on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Friend, when the Spirit of God comes on you, he comes on you with a purpose of bringing your life into a prophetic expression. It's not just giving prophetic words in a Christian gathering. That's included in this. I believe it's much bigger than that. It is living a prophetic lifestyle. In other words, that the Spirit of God wants to reveal. He wants to go right out before you, reveal to you events that are going to happen in your day before you ever get to them. People that you're going to come into contact with. Things that are going to happen. So you're ready. And in the power of the Spirit, you just move in there and all of a sudden God's doing a miracle in somebody's life. All of a sudden somebody's repenting and getting right and coming to Jesus. Right on the sidewalk. Hallelujah. Right in the gas station. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I think I'm getting out of my mind here. Hallelujah. It's a principle of primitive Christianity that we entertain and host the power of the prophetic Spirit of God within us and upon us. He knows so many things we don't know. He wants to show them to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we okay with going a while here today? We forgot to talk about that. Okay, all right. All right, hallelujah. Why, out in Montana, it's only 10:30. Hallelujah. So relax. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know, but we're in Minnesota. I know. Hallelujah. Everybody scream right out loud. Tell us a story, doctor.
Tell us a story, doctor.
Okay. All right. I stepped into a room. Actually, it was in a theater building in a town in India called Nandikatpur. They had gathered the pastors of the city there to welcome me as I came in there for a 5-day crusade. As I stepped in the room, all kinds of jet lag upon me, my tongue hanging out, my hair disheveled. The pastors were there greeting me, loving me. It's one of the things they do. And this 88-year-old pastor named Nagi came walking up to me, grabbed me in his arms, hugging on me, kissing on me, everything like this. I'd never seen this man in my life, and I'm like, I love you too. You know, it's like, whoa. It was like I was his long-lost son or something. I did not understand his greeting. And we got started, and he would be there in the pastor's school every morning, and I'd see him at a distance, but I'd never got to talk to him just in the flow of how things went and back. And I could kind of tell by watching the other pastors and him that he was kind of the senior guy of this whole area. In fact, I asked some people about him, and they said, oh, yes, when the Muslims have someone in their family who's demonized, they don't take them to the mosque. They take them to Nagi. When the Hindus have somebody that's severely ill, doctors can't do anything for them, they don't go to New Delhi. They take them to Nagi. They don't take them to the temple either. They take them to Nagi. That's the kind of man he was. He had been pastoring in that village for 60 years. And on the Sunday, which would have been the Sunday night, would have been the last night of the crusade. On Sunday morning, I was sent out to the church that he pastored to preach. And I said to myself, now I'm going to get some answers. So I preached. We had a great service, and it was wonderful. And we're sitting down having a lunch after the service. I'm seated right next to him, and he turns and looks at me, and he says, I suppose you were wondering why I was acting that way the other day there in the room. I said, yeah, it crossed my mind a few times. And he told me this story. He said, 15 years ago, I had a strong burden come on my heart for your nation, the United States of America. And I began to pray for your nation hours every week. I want you to think about that for a moment and realize that that is happening all over the world. It's happening in India. It's happening in China. It's happening in Africa. It's all over. God is putting a burden on his people to pray, God bless him, for the United States of America, that we will repent, that we will come to the truth, that we will return to this God that our forefathers knew. Hallelujah. He said, was doing this for 3 or 4 months. He said, one day, I just had a powerful, exceptional revelation from God. And a vision was with it. And he said, and I had a prophetic word that was for this city here that I live in. And the word said, a man is going to come here from the United States of America. He's going to preach in this city. The attention of the town is going to be focused on Jesus. He said some other things in that prophecy too, including this one. They had a clinic in that town that people came from the whole region to stand in line and wait for their turn. And he prophesied that the clinic would be emptied out because there'd be no people who would need to be healed. He released that prophecy into several gatherings of small gatherings of Christians that came to the city in the next few years. And this is what the Christians said to him. They said, Nagi, we greatly respect you. You're a man of God. But we can't accept this prophecy. This is over the top. This is too much. Those preachers, they don't come to villages like this. They stay in the big towns where the nice hotels are and all this. That's what they told him. You know what Nagi did? He didn't get better. He got better. Hallelujah. And he gathered a band of intercessors around him that I believe came from several churches within the city. And they began to pray more intently than they had been before. He and the intercessors. All this happened 15 years before I got there. In fact, God changed our whole schedule that year. Our plan was to go there in December. God changed things supernaturally by his Spirit and got us there in March instead of December. I want you to keep that in mind as we go along in the story. So we're sitting there at the table in his church, and he's telling me all this. Then he says this. He says, when I saw you in that room there last Wednesday, I said to myself, that's the man I saw in the vision 15 years ago. He's here in my town now. Whoa, man. I'm telling you, I can feel it right now. Hallelujah. I preached good that night at the crusade. Hallelujah. Nagi saw me 15 years ago. He prophesied over the town I was coming. Dude, hallelujah. That's the revealing power of the Holy Spirit. The clinic did not empty out during those 5 days. And Nagi died and went to heaven in August of that year. Getting a hold of the timeline there. If we had waited and gone in December, I'm sure we would have had a wonderful time because all those seeds were in place and all the things had been done, but Nagi would have never seen this while he was here on the earth. God moved heaven and earth to get us there in March so Nagi could see it in March, and he died in August. Hallelujah. I am really looking forward to seeing him in heaven. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to spend some time. Well, there's no time up there. I'm going to hang out with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went back there 3 years later under the impulse of the Holy Spirit because we believe that if you're a son or a daughter and that the Spirit of God is on you, you're going to live a prophetic life. The Spirit will reveal. The Spirit will speak. The Spirit will lead and guide. Paul the Apostle says it this way in Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Amen? That's really what it is. We went back the second time 3 years later, and we went for 7 days instead of five. And I will tell you, in those meetings, the clinic did get emptied out. There were so many people getting healed at the crusade. In fact, the town has 30,000 people, and on the last night we had 45,000 people on the grounds. There were so many people getting healed at the crusade that during the daytimes they'd walk into the city and they'd be walking by the clinic and they'd say to the people in line, because in India there's no doctor appointments or anything like that. You just show up and get in line. If they have time, they'll see you that day. Little vision of the future for here in the United States. Well, that's another whole subject. But they would say to the people standing in the line, why are you standing in line here? They say, well, I'm sick, you know, and I came from so-and-so village. They say, don't stand here. Go out to the meeting out on the grounds out there, and God will heal you. And by the fifth day and the sixth day of that meeting, no one stood in line at the clinic to see the doctors. The line was the testimony line out at the meeting, standing across the platform down onto the field. I said, only people who were at the clinic and who are now healed come. The line went off the platform and down onto the field. And we took those testimonies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A year or two after that, I was over in India, and they told me that Nagi's widow was very sick. I said, take me there. We just canceled everything and went. And a number of family members had gathered. They thought she was going to leave this earth. And I am telling you the things that happened in the Bible. He wants to do them now. I know. I've seen a number of them with my own eyes. Hallelujah. I walked into that room, and I said to her, it's not your time yet, dear. I took her hand. I raised her up. The power of God came into her body. She was a or two. I took her by the hand, and she sat up on the bed. She said, I feel strength coming into me. I said, it's the Holy Ghost, sister. There's more for you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. We went out into the living room of that house, and we were all sitting around in chairs drinking pop and eating cookies, and I'm seated next to her. Now she's fully back. She's in full strength. She said, I'm glad you came today. And she said, there's one thing my husband didn't tell you when he was telling you about that revelation he had. I said, please tell me. This is what she said to me. She said, he knew your name. He told people for 15 years, David Nichols is coming to Nondicket Kerr. I said, well. That's amazing. Part of that time, I was a Pharisee wandering around in a soup of religious criticalism over here in the United States, and God revealed that to him over there in India. I believe in the power of the prophetic spirit of the living God to reveal and to release his purposes. You want the kingdom of God to come to your family? You want your lost loved ones to get saved? Start prophesying into them. Stand in your bedroom. You don't have to necessarily do it in their presence, although God will give you the times to do that too. Stand in your bedroom and start releasing the word of God into the atmosphere. Let the spirit of God, read scriptures. Read them forth. I'll tell you one I read this morning. It's been fulfilled, as Sherry said, for us three times. Isaiah 59:21. Your descendants and your descendants' descendants, the covenant is with them. Remind God of that. Speak it out into the air. I'm telling you, they're coming back in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen to that today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's our first principle of primitive Christianity, the power of the prophetic spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, in that second time we went to Nandikatkur, 17,000 people confessed Jesus in those 7 nights. Hallelujah. It shook that region and that territory with the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, number two, principle of primitive Christianity, the call to repentance. You keep reading here in Acts chapter 2. It's an amazing chapter. I would suggest you spend some time. No, I'm a doctor. I'll prescribe it to you. Okay. Just hang out in Acts chapter 2 for a while. Peter, that's his text that we were reading from there from Joel 2. Then he starts preaching. And here's what he says in verse 36. He's very politically incorrect. Because the people who are standing there listening to him are the very people, some of them are the very people who participated in the crucifixion of Jesus just a few weeks earlier. Here's what he says. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's one of the greatest verses in the Bible right there, Acts 2:38. Can you say amen to that? Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. My friends, the message has not changed. Times have changed, cultures have changed, histories have changed. The message has not changed. It's Jesus Christ crucified. It's Jesus Christ buried. It's Jesus Christ raised from the dead the third day by the power of God the Father. Hallelujah. That's the message. You've got to believe on him. You've got to forsake your sins and leave them behind. You change directions. That's what repent means. It means you were going one way and you heard something, you were stopped, arrested, and you changed and you turned to 180 and started going the other way. Jesus said it this way. Isn't it amazing? In the New Testament, all the key pivotal places where something new begins, there's someone proclaiming repentance. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, right as he began his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. And people started repenting. Now here in Acts chapter 2, as the church begins, anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stands up and says, repent. And on this day, 3,000 people repent in the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Don't you think that caused a stir? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They say the population of Jerusalem in that time was probably between 40 and 50,000. 3,000 of them got saved in one day. And more kept getting saved in the days that followed. Hallelujah. No wonder the Pharisees and Sadducees were riled up. Hallelujah. Friend, there's no other way to have your sins forgiven. There's no other way to have a relationship with God. Yes, there are other religious expressions. Yes, there are other religious leaders. There is one way. There is one truth. There is one opening. There is one person who can take us to the Father, and his name is Jesus. And this is not an American invention. This started outside a city called Jerusalem. We didn't invent this in America. We had it revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't let them tell you that. Well, is it Christianity? This is an American thing. No, I'm sorry. It started 2,000 years ago as the Son of God was nailed to a cross and the blood ran out of his body. Friend, he was there in love. He was there in forgiveness. He was forgiving the people who were driving the nails in his hands. He said to the thief on the cross who repented that day, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. That's Jesus I'm talking about. This message has never changed down through the ages of church history and right to this living moment. Friend, it is the answer to sin. You have to repent. You have to give up your efforts to save yourself. And you have to trust God for his abundant mercy to come to you. That is called faith. You trust God with that faith, and he comes, and he delivers you from the power of sin, and he sets you free. Can you say amen to that today? Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's primitive. I know it's old. Some might think it's old-fashioned. It's the gospel of Jesus. It will never change. And I'm telling you today, I'll prophesy to you today, it is going to be proclaimed across America in civic centers, in gyms, in VFWs, on sidewalks, in Walmarts. Hallelujah. This gospel of repentance is going to be proclaimed, and America is going to see millions of people repent and call on the name of Jesus in the years just ahead of us. You can take that to the bank. Hallelujah. I believe that's true. Hallelujah. Everyone scream right out loud, "Give us another principle, doctor."
Give us another principle, doctor.
All right, number three, hallelujah. Here it is, you ready? Third principle of primitive Christianity. It is the kingdom of God expressed in signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. Flip back to Acts chapter 1, please. Hallelujah. I'm getting all of this right out of the first four chapters of Acts. Hallelujah. The book of Acts starts with the kingdom of God and it ends with the kingdom of God. It's all about the expansion and the advance of the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. They are the same thing. As you know, Jesus comes and appears to them in the resurrection body. He says these amazing words in verse 5. "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus had been teaching them, had been preaching to them about the kingdom, and had been demonstrating the kingdom for 3.5 years. It's a good thing it was Jesus. It's a good thing they didn't ask me, because I would, "Oh, you guys, what's it going to take?" But Jesus was very kind. In verse 7, I'm going to give you the three answers that are given in the modern church to the question of the disciples. "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" First answer to that question that is given is, there is no kingdom now. It was here. Jesus offered it to the Jews. They didn't want it, so he put it in his pocket and he ascended back up into heaven with it. And then Jesus said, "Now, without the kingdom, just go ahead, do the best you can. No miracles, no healings." There's a whole branch of Christianity that believes that. There's no miracles today. We had an Indian pastor from that branch. Both he and his wife were healed in India. It causes quite a doctrinal upheaval in the church. when they don't believe, and I wasn't there advancing an agenda. I was innocent. It's a story too long to tell you this morning. But this precious pastor was 70 years old. His wife had had 8 years of terrible leg paralysis, and she walked in the name of Jesus. And there had to be some real heavy-duty explaining that went on there. Because the official position of the church is God does not heal today. It all stopped. You know, they're undergoing some doctrinal revisions there right now, actually. But that's the first answer that's given. Will you restore the kingdom? There is no kingdom. Jesus took it back with him. We're just here doing the best we can. Somehow we get a few souls saved, whatever. That's not the right answer. Lord, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel? Ready for the second one? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel now, Lord? Jesus answers, yeah, boys, remember those two swords? Go get them. Get some horses, some chariots. We're going to ride, baby. We're going to march on Caesar and Pilate, and we're going to throw those scums out of there. We're ruling. There's a whole branch of Christianity today that's saying that. It's not what Jesus said. In fact, this is the same Jesus when he was in front of Pilate that said this in John chapter 18. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. But now my kingdom is not from here. Remember that? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you may not like it. It's okay. The kingdom, in its political and economic sense, is not going to be set up in this present age. I'm sorry if people have taught you that. Read your Bible. Read the 19th chapter of Revelation and then the 20th, and you will find out that Jesus comes in power and glory and splits heaven open and heaven stays open. And from that point on, then with him as king and regent and ruler of this earth, we rule and reign this earth with him. Personally, I've asked for the state of Minnesota. I want to be governor. I think I could do a better job. I'm sorry, Governor Dayton. I just think I could do better. And the first thing I'm getting rid of is those walleye slot limits. They're going to go no more. No, I'm actually serious. I want to be governor of Minnesota in that reign and millennial reign of Jesus. Hallelujah. No, the disciples said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, here's the third one. This is what Jesus really said. It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. The next time somebody tells you they know all the times and seasons, remember the guy with the billboards we had back here about 2 years ago? He had them all over the place. Jesus was coming on, what was it, May 19th, I think, of that year. Well, that didn't work out too well, did it? It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Hallelujah. The Greek word there is dunamis. We get our English words dynamite, dynamic, dynamo. All those English words come from that Greek word dunamis. Hallelujah. Dynamic power, explosive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Coon Rapids and in Minnesota and in the United States and to the end of the earth. Oh, excuse me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Can I confidently assure you that it is okay out there at the ends of the earth? I've been there. Everybody scream right out loud, where is it, doctor? In my opinion, it's a village in India called Duver. We told people we were going to Duver. They said, why are you going there? I said, I heard the devil is there. Hallelujah. We're going to go and disturb him for a while. Hallelujah. They had every kind of syncretism. That means mixing up between the Hindu religion and Satanism and seances and witchcraft, you name it, and the Muslims joined in with it too, or all this. You name it, they had it. We got there and we set up and we said, we're going to exalt Jesus in this place. A town of 1,000 people. We had never, ever done a crusade in a town that small except in Duver. 1,000 people lived there. You know how many were saved? How many registered decisions we had on cards by the fifth night when it was over? 5,500 in a town of 1,000. They were coming in from everywhere. Everybody wanted to see people healed. Everybody wanted to see people delivered. Everybody wanted to see the miracle power of God. And then we just told them Jesus. We told them the cross. We told them the resurrection. Hallelujah. And they threw down their idols and they threw down their witchcraft practices. Hallelujah. I could keep you here all day with the witchcraft stories from Africa. I'm telling you, the name is Jesus. The witch doctors have no answer for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Get ready. There are witch doctors all over America. They're not out in this public as much as they are in Africa, but they're here. And the contest with them is coming. I hope you're ready. Hallelujah. Because you're going to have to stand. I believe people that we call ordinary believers are going to do extraordinary exploits in your neighborhood. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You see, when it comes to the display of power from the satanic side, there is only one thing they respect, and that is a power that is greater than theirs. And I'm here to tell you that the power that is in the name of Jesus is multiplied millions of times greater than their power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, can I tell you a story about that? All right. This one happened in Burundi last February. We were in the third night of our meeting. Actually, the young man you saw from India that was doing the translating for us there, we had him over in Africa in Burundi, and he was preaching that night. And the witch doctor in the town was very disappointed in our results because it was really cutting into his business. People weren't coming for healing. They weren't coming for all the cures and all that stuff. And so he decided on a course of action. They have some kind of a practice they do. We would call it the anointing, putting the anointing on someone, but it's a satanic anointing. So he had this friend of his, this guy, that was going to act as his representative. And he did this ritual with him, said, all right, now this night, the third night of their meeting, you go out there and break it open and wreck it. Okay, so he's got the anointing on him to do that. Hallelujah. Anybody want to go with us on these crusades? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It isn't even spooky. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Seriously. So right in the middle of Jyoti's message, here comes this guy. He's carrying this big scepter thing, this rod that's 7 feet long. It's got hollowed out gourds on it. He's walking in from the back of the crowd and shouting and yelling and screaming, and that whole side of the crowd is starting to look at him. They look out there, what is this, you know? So Bishop Eugene and I kind of look at each other, and he grabs a couple of ushers. He says, go back and pull this guy toward the back and kind of try to quiet him down. So they do. They kind of are moving him, but the whole side of the crowd is all, they're not even listening to Jyoti anymore. So the ushers have him at the back, and he's screaming and yelling and doing his thing. And I watch Eugene again. He leans over to one of our young men that is on team that he brings from Tanzania. This guy is built like Adrian Peterson, okay? He's a young African man, about 25 years old. He could be a linebacker, in fact. And He goes, bzz, 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 and I see this, our guy, leap off the platform, go running back there, gets in the face of this guy from the witch doctor, grabs him by the shoulders, and just shakes him for about 30 seconds. And the next, and now I don't recommend that method here in the U.S. Okay. And the next thing that happened, he actually was shaking the devil out of him. The two of them walked together around the back of the crowd, and they come and stand right in the front on the left side, down on the ground in front of the platform. Jyoti keeps on preaching. 15 minutes later, he gives his altar call, and here's what happened. The people started coming forward. Hundreds of people started coming to repent and receive Jesus. And the guy from the witch doctor joined in that crowd, came and stood with them and repented and gave his life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how Jesus conquers his enemies. He forgives them. Hallelujah. He makes them children of the Father. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, the only power those people respect is a power that is greater than the power they have. And I'm here to tell you that the power that we are manifesting is greater than anything Satan has. It's greater than any witch doctor has. It's greater than they get at seance or any of this junk. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is much greater. So the kingdom of heaven comes. Signs, wonders, miracles, confrontations happen. Hallelujah. It's primitive Christianity. Well, here's one more here, number four. Acts chapter 4, please. Number four, principle of primitive Christianity. Passionate prayer to the living God. Passionate prayer to the living God. I am excited by your announcement here tonight that Sunday nights you're going to be having a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Please come to the prayer meeting. There are a few places in the world where they had the courage to number their congregation by the number of people that came to the prayer meeting. One such place is the Hebrides Islands off the coast of Scotland. In that move that came from 1948 to 1953, they numbered their churches by how many people came to the prayer meeting. And actually, in some instances, it was more than were coming on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. You guys seem to me to be a people who want to have revival come. Hallelujah. Want to see souls saved by the hundreds. Want to see the glory of God manifested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to take some prayer. Acts chapter 4. How do you pray this way? The Bible shows us. Look at verse 23. This is after Peter and John are released from the Sanhedrin. It says, being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now here's their prayer to the Lord. Notice, I think there's some differences between the way they prayed and the way we usually pray. Because if I had been through what they had just been through, I think I probably would have been praying, oh, Lord, deliver us from these terrible threats and these, get us out of this terrible situation. Lord, do miracles to extract us out of here. That's not how they prayed. They said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They wanted more boldness to come with this primitive gospel more clearly, more effectively. Wow. By stretching out your hand to heal, because what got him in trouble was the healing of the lame man, remember, at the Gate Beautiful. That's what caused all this problem. And they're praying that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. In other words, God answered that prayer. He always answers that prayer. Hallelujah. If you ask him for more boldness to go into your world, get ready. Hang on, saddle your horse, or put gas in your Escort, or whatever. I mean, get ready. I mean, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is time, friends, for the United States of America to pray. We need to pray like the early church prayed. If we want to see what the early church saw, we're going to have to pray like they prayed, and we're going to have to mean it. God, give us more boldness. That's exactly what we need. You need it at work. Some of you need it right in your homes where you live with your family members. Some of you need it right in your shopping, right out in everyday life. Hallelujah. Where you're just bold in the Holy Spirit. When an impression, when a leading from the Holy Spirit comes, just says, go over and talk to that person over there. You're not... I mean, I know you never do that, but I've done that a few times. You know, that's not the thing to do. Hallelujah. You just walk over and you expect that the same Spirit of God who led you there is going to empower you and a good thing is going to happen. You won't get every single person over the finish line necessarily to confessing Jesus and falling on their knees and crying like a baby. That won't necessarily happen every time. But what happens is the kingdom comes, and that person comes closer to the kingdom. And some of them you will. Some of them you will lead to Jesus. Some will get healed. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Others you'll give a word of encouragement. You'll give a word of blessing. And they'll say, wait a minute, I thought Christians were these crabby, cranky people, you know. And here this Christian just walked up to me and blessed me, blessed my day, blessed my family, blessed my work. You say, what's up with that? You know, that person is going to think about that all day. If you do that, can you say amen to that? Amen. All you got to do is be walking a little bit of boldness. Pray this prayer, expect God will answer it. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together, please. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'm going to give a call to the front here, and we'd love to pray over you this morning. Here's why you would want to come down to the front. Number one, if you need to repent, we just preach that to you. If there's sin in your life that is there, it's between you and Jesus. It's between you and the Father. There's only one way to get that out of there. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the cross. And it's you obeying what the gospel says, and that is repent and call on the name of the Lord. Confess that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, it says in Romans chapter 10. And you can be saved. Hallelujah. Another reason you might want to come forward is you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will fill you here in this place today. Last Sunday morning in Dickinson, North Dakota, we had at least 5 people baptized in the Holy Ghost at the end of that morning service. Hallelujah. They spoke in tongues and they manifested the glory of God. Hallelujah. Another reason you might want to come down here is you're already full of the Holy Spirit and you want to operate more freely and more effectively in gifts of the Spirit, anointings and powers, and see the kingdom come through your ministry. Friend, you not only have a ministry, each one of you in this room today, you are a ministry. Look at your neighbor right in the eyes and tell him, I am a ministry. Go ahead and tell him, I am a ministry. Hallelujah, you are. You want to step into that deeper. Some of you might just want to come up here to that fourth point because you need to pray. You just need to pray at a more effective way and in a deeper way than you have for a long time. That's available here too. If you need any of that this morning, I want you to come on up. right now. We're going to pray over you. Hallelujah. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray over you. Hallelujah. That's right. Just step out and come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's mercy. It's loving kindness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Just step and come. It's the power of God. It's the love of God. His love for you, friend, is so amazing. It's an amazing love. Those of you that have done things you think that are separating you from God, I'm telling you today, His love reaches over that. His love reaches around that. And you come and you repent and you call on the name of the Lord. And He takes away your sin. He breaks the power of sin right off of your life. Hallelujah. 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 I believe there are some of you here this morning that you have come for that purpose. And all of us here are going to help you right now. We're going to pray together. We're going to repent of our sins. We're going to call on the name of Jesus. Everyone, say this prayer right out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I confess that I've sinned against you. I've broken your laws, Father, and I've displeased you greatly. But today in this place, I repent of my sin. To forsake it and leave it behind. Ask for the blood of Jesus to cover all of my sins. And I thank you, Father, that this life is coming into me. I declare today, I am a new creation. Jesus, I receive your blood. In the power of your cross, power of your resurrection, to change me and to be new. Father, I thank you today for your great love. And I open up my heart and my spirit for your love to pour into me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise up your hands and give him some praise here today. Hallelujah. 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 Now everyone here that needs to be filled with the Spirit of God, I declare to you today that He wants to fill you to overflowing. This is beyond the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes when you get saved. This is the filling to overflowing of you, where the Spirit of God is in you so mightily that you are immersed in Him. Just like being immersed in water, you get immersed in the Holy Spirit over your head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So raise up your hands and say this right out loud. Say, Father, I ask you today for this baptism in the Holy Spirit. I yield my mind. I yield my emotions, my whole inner person to you today. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, those of you that have a prayer language, just begin flowing in that right now. And those of you that are being filled right now, just let Him speak out of you in a language you never learned. Lebedarasatratatabakandaratrapala Likesha patrotoko pereda patanda Langeda badroti kisi kareda patasha. Fire from heaven. fire landing right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, mighty gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to name some of these gifts out loud. Some of you are going to be quick in your heart. You're just going to grasp one or two or three or however many the Holy Spirit impresses on you. But I just declare the full operation of these gifts. Prophecy in the name of Jesus. We release it today in Jesus' name. Words of knowledge, hallelujah. Words of knowledge releasing right now. Words of wisdom in Jesus' name. Discerning of spirits. Faith, that mighty gift of faith. We just release it here today. That you would trust God for the impossible. Gifts of healings, hallelujah. Release in the ministries of these people today. Miracles, working of miracles. Release in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The gift of mercy just released in here. To epic proportions in the name of Jesus. So that people will be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. 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 Now what I want to ask you to do is just begin to pray. Pray for America. Pray for Minnesota. Pray for Coon Rapids. That is the people that live here where we live. Some of you just need to pray in your prayer language. Others of you need to pray in English. And then ask the Lord for boldness. Ask Him for the fire and the revelation of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. That's right. Begin to lift it up to Him here right now. Father, I thank you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I declare to you today that you are bold in God. I declare to you today that you are no longer an orphan. You are a son. You are a daughter of this Father in heaven. Because Jesus is bringing you near. And I declare a release. I declare a stepping up. For each one of you here that is in this time of prayer, your foot is going to go to a higher place, and you're going to climb up there, and you're going to occupy in the name of Jesus. Family members are going to repent. Co-workers are going to come to Jesus. Fellow shoppers in stores are going to see the kingdom come right before their eyes. We release it today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Lynn, I'm going to give the mic back to you. Bless you in the name of the Lord. I see you a vigorous people. You are not lackadaisical. You are not slipshod in your dealings with the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, there is a vigor upon you. The Lord just let me see that. You are a vigorous, passionate people to serve and follow Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God. Jesus is here this morning. Hallelujah. And Dr. Nichols and Sherry, we want you to know that you have a new family. We love you. You can see God's mighty hand upon your work. And if you want to step down here, Sherry, are you still? She's gone out the back, but we want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift up Dr. Nichols and his wife Sherry right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we would ask right now that your anointing would grow greater and greater in their lives as the days go forward, Father, should Jesus tarry. We ask that your supernatural anointing of your healing power continue to flow through their bodies. Give them strength and energy, vitality in the days ahead. Give them new wisdom from your throne room, Father, in what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, Lord, as you move supernaturally through their lives. Prepare the places that they will be going and you will be sending them to, Father, to receive what you want those peoples to have and hear. And Lord, we just pray blessings upon their lives in every area, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in their life. We thank you for the word that you brought through Dr. Nichols this morning to touch our lives, to encourage us, to challenge us, to excite us, to make us red hot for Jesus. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. And now, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this family of brothers and sisters in Christ that are here today, Lord. I pray upon every family represented here that you would continue through the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts, to move in their hearts, Lord. Bless each household, again, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, Lord. Let us be a people on fire for Jesus, a people that are living, Lord, to reach a lost and dying world. Let us be a mighty army for you, Lord. Should Jesus tarry, Lord, let us be fervent in our life, in our living for you in the days ahead. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Fellowship downstairs.